My dear brothers and sisters, I greet you with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Al-Hafidh al-Dhahabi radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith from Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah. In this hadith, Al-Irbad talks about someone that came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to ask him, Ya Rasulullah, tell us about the earliest signs of your prophethood. Tell us about the earliest signs of your prophethood. And that's when Rasulullah paused, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With both pride and humility, he responded, Inni عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَمَكْتُوبٌ خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ وَإِنَّ آدَمَ لَفِي طِينَتِهِ I was written in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the seal of prophets when Adam was still uncreated in the mud of the earth. When Adam was still uncreated in the mud of the earth, Rasulullah is already being selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the seal of prophets. سَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَوَّلِ أَمْرِي Let me tell you about the earlier signs of my affair. أَنَا دَعْوَةُ أَبِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ I am the answer to the call of my father Ibrahim. أَنَا دَعْوَةُ أَبِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَبُشْرَى عِيسَى وَرُؤْيَا أُمِّي رَأَتْ حِينَ وَلَدَتْنِي أَنَّ نُورًا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا أَضَاءَتْ لَهُ قُصُورُ الشَّامِ صلى الله على محمد He says, I am the answer to the prayer of Ibrahim. And I am the glad tidings that came in the prophecy of Isa, alayhi salam. And I am the dream of my mother. When she gave birth to me, she saw that a light emerged from her that illuminated the palaces of the Levant. The great palaces of the Byzantine Empire were illuminated in the dream, in the vision of Amina, radiallahu anha. Now, what is the dua of Ibrahim that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the answer to? The ayat in the Quran, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ It was the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam for his progeny, for his offspring to be blessed by a prophet of their own. He asked Allah, Lord, erect from among them a prophet of their own, a man of their own that belongs to them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that he may recite to them all the divine messages, so that he may teach them the book and wisdom, so that he may purify their souls. That was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the fulfillment of that dua. Brothers and sisters, the advent of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the world, the advent of Muhammad to the world indeed was the most monumentous event. You know why? Because it was conceived in the mind of God before he created Adam. It was conceived in the mind of God before he created heavens and earth. Subhanallah. And that is why, brothers and sisters, in order to prepare the universe for Muhammad, in order to prepare humanity for Muhammad, in order to prepare us to receive the greatest gift of the divine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these extraordinary signs, these extraordinary events that cannot be explained. They are collectively called irhasatun nubuwa, the premonitions of prophethood. Irhasatun nubuwa, the events that preceded the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling the entire world that something great was about to happen. So the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam was a premonition. The prophecy of Isa alayhi salam was a premonition. The vision of Amina radiallahu anha was a premonition. All the incredible events that happened to Halima, his nursing mother, all the blessings that happened to her and her family and her livestock, that was a premonition. The cloud following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam everywhere he went was a premonition. The success of Khadija's business was a premonition, and the list goes on and on and on. And that is what I wanted to talk to you about today. When the entire country is trying to digest the new administration and the man that is going to be at the helm of the White House and be the most powerful man in the world. When everyone is trying to wrap their head around the cabinet selection. when the world is still trying to put some effort to stop the genocide in Gaza, to stop the Zionist malignancy from metastasizing into Lebanon and other places. When we feel that sense of despair and we don't know what to do, we go back to our own values and principles. When you feel shocked at the tyranny, at the evil of the Zionists, that means your heart is in the right place. Because the standard by which you measure these actions is the standard of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I look at what's happening and I see the Zionists trying to do this land grab. They're trying to grab Gaza. They're trying to grab southern Lebanon, right? It's a land grab. We conquered too in our history, didn't we? We conquered too. Muslims did conquer. But our conquest was bound by values and principles and boundaries and rules. Least of all is that men, women and children and non-combatants are not fair game. The Zionist animals, all they do is target women and children because that is what they can do. Our principles would prevent us from doing something like this. Where would those principles come from? From the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I observe the world building its own capitalist systems, exploiting the world, exploiting the small person, exploiting the weak, destroying the environment. I look at us and I say, well, we built wealth as well. We had some of the wealthiest empires in the history of man, but our wealth was not capitalist. Our wealth was principled. Our wealth had an end in sight. Money was means to an end, not an end in and of itself, as capitalism teaches us. Money was not meant to exploit the world and exploit man and sow the seeds of disharmony between us. It was meant to do good. These were our values. Where did we get them from? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I look at the world building up its own ideologies and philosophies about some false freedom and liberty that is designed to estrange man, that is designed to separate us from each other, that is designed to cause fragmentation and hurt and pain and destruction. And I look at us and I say, we had our own version of liberty, but our liberty was principled. Our liberty was inspired by divine teachings, was not meant to fragment us, but rather was meant to bring us together. Where do we get all this? We get that from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we refrain from saying something bad, when people in Gaza, instead of cussing at the Zionists, they say, Alhamdulillah, where do they get that from? They get it from the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we say Alhamdulillah in the face of the worst atrocity, we get it from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we refrain from investing our money in some shady business venture, where do we get that from? From Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say, I will take halal over haram any day. 5 from halal versus 50 from haram, I'll take the 5. Because there's going to be barakah in that. And that is how I want to live. When I share with you Irhasatul Nubuwa today, the premonitions of prophethood, it is meant to engender pride in your hearts. It is meant to engender gratitude that you are a Muslim, that you have your own values, that you see the world through the lens of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you judge your actions and that of others based on the lens of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The list of those premonitions is long, but I will focus on just a few for the purpose of this khutbah, inshallah, to remind you of, you know, your seerah. And many of you probably know already some of the things that I will share. The first one, obviously, is the event that happened in Aam al-Fil, the year of the elephant. That is the year that the Prophet ﷺ was born. Why do they call it the year of the elephant? Because the invading army of the Abyssinians was averted. And the story was eternalized in the Quran in Surah Al-Fil. Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Have you seen what your Lord has done and how he dealt with the companions of the elephant when he destroyed them completely? What is the story behind this? The story is that Abyssinia is a Byzantine province and one of their magistrates rules Yemen. The Byzantines obviously are Christian, Eastern Orthodox. And their magistrate in Yemen, Abraha, is also Christian. So he built this shrine, this temple. And he thought that he's just going to lure the Arabs to abandon the Kaaba and come pray at his temple. But when he received nothing but neglection from the Arabs, he decided to march north in order to destroy the Kaaba once and for all. The story is long, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these birds holding, you know, dried clay, and they threw the clay at the heads of the enemy, and they all became, as the ayah says, ka'asfin ma'kul, like withered straw, like literally a straw that you see on the side of the road, withered straw. And Allah protected his Kaaba. You might ask though, how is that a premonition of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How is that a foretelling of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Ibn Taymiyyah has a beautiful comment on this. He says, وَكَانَ جِيرَانُ الْبَيْتِ يَعْبُدُونَ الْأَوْثَانِ. The neighbors of the house, of the sacred house, the Kaaba, they were idol worshippers. وَكَانَ دِينُ النَّصَارَ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ دِينِهِمْ. The faith of the Christians was definitely better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than shirk, right? But why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy the Christians and saved the polytheists? Ibn Taymiyyah says, well, this has nothing to do with Quraysh itself. The protection of the Kaaba did not happen for the sake of Quraysh, rather for the sake of the man that will come from Quraysh. A man in whose life the Kaaba will become the epicenter of his journey, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why Ibn Taymiyyah establishes that this event was from Irhasat al-Nubuwwah, from the premonitions of prophethood. The other one that I wanted to talk to you about, you're also familiar with. It's the rediscovery of the Well of Zamzam. Zamzam was dug at the time of Hajar and Ismail. You know the story, right? And it continued to serve the Arabs for generations until it was eventually abandoned. It did not dry out. It was just abandoned and it was covered by all kinds of things and rocks and sand and things like that. And they don't know where its location was any longer. Abdul Muttalib, the Prophet's grandfather, was once asleep. And that narration, by the way, is in Dala'il al-Nubuwwah of Imam al-Bayhaqi, which is an authentic narration. It's in Al-Bidayah wal-Nihayah, Imam Ibn Kathir, from the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, a sound narration with the agreement of all the scholars, right? So Ali narrates about his own grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And he said, Abdul Muttalib was asleep, and he saw in his dream someone that tells him, right, Uhfur Barra, dig Barra. Barra is one of the names of Zamzam. Barra from Birr, the one that keeps on giving. Uhfur Barra. He didn't understand, what is Barra? And then he woke up, spent the day, and then he went back to sleep at night, and then he saw in another dream, Uhfur Tayba, dig the blessed one. Well, what is Tayba? And he gets up and he spends the day and he goes back to sleep. And then the angel comes back to him, you know, presumably in his dream, and he says, Uhfur Zamzam. La tunzafu wa la tudham. It is the well that never dries out and never goes low on water, that will always continue to churn out beautiful water until the end of time. And he was given the location, like a GPS map type deal. And he goes to a place close to the Kaaba in the middle of the day when it's too hot. And some of the people of Banu Umayyah saw Abdul Muttalib, you know, who was from Banu Hashim, right? So he's like, what are you doing? He says, well, an honorable man does not lie. I saw in my vision that I am digging out Zamzam again. So they said to him, well, we have to have a share in this. He said, no, but I am the one that saw the vision. He said, no, this belongs to all of us. We have to have a share in this. So Abdul Muttalib refused. He said, okay, let's go to some arbiter that will adjudicate our case. So they decided to go to some soothsayer in the north. And they walk across the desert for days. And then they get lost. They lose their provisions and their water, and they feel that they're about to perish. So Abdul Muttalib suggests to them, everyone needs to dig a grave. And if you die first, then your companion will put you in your grave so that we don't die and get, you know, eaten by wild animals. That would be dishonorable. So let's accept it and dig our own graves. So one day passed, they didn't die. Second day passed, they didn't die. Abdul Muttalib woke up the third and he said, you know what, maybe it's Allah is telling us something. Let's attempt, let's keep pushing through. So he gets on his camel and he's about to move. The camel steps on the sand and water comes gushing out. And everyone fills their water skins, they fill their canteens, and they fill their bellies, and they thank Allah for it. And they said, Wallahi, إِنَّ الَّذِي سَقَاكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْفَلَاهِ لَهُوَ الَّذِي سَقَاكَ زَمْزَمْ. The one that gave you water in the middle of the desert is the one that gave you Zamzam. اذهب يا عبد المطلب فوالله لا نخاصمك. Go back and claim Zamzam. It is yours. We will never show enmity. We will never argue with you ever again. And it's from that day that Zamzam remained in the custody of the descendants of Abd al-Muttalib. Subhanallah. I don't know what MBS is doing to Saudi Arabia in this day and age, right? He is mutilating the country, right? He's changing everything to the absolute worst. You know, just watching some of the news coming out of Saudi Arabia the last, you know, from Riyadh in particular, the last few days, wallahi, I was so terrified. I could not even watch the videos. Right? If the Saudis just give us Mecca and Medina, and then they can keep the rest of the country, we're not going to be bothered. For some kind of two cities administered by a collectivity of the Muslim world. Maybe that should be the solution. So it is not subject to the whims of corrupt kings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from them. Allahumma ameen. But that is the beautiful story of Zamzam. And what does that tell us, brothers and sisters? There's a beautiful metaphor here that the scholars talked about. And they say, if Zamzam was this long lost well of beautiful clean water in the middle of the desert that was rediscovered in order to quench the thirst of the Arabs, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the one that will rediscover the treasure of Tawheed that remained latent under the surface for centuries. And with his beautiful tender hands, he unearthed it. He brought it forth. He made it alive again. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Zamzam to the world. And that is why the rediscovery of Zamzam was a premonition of the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I ask Allah to forgive us our sins, to establish us firmly on His path. Raise your hands, brothers and sisters, and ask Allah for His guidance and forgiveness. أدعوا الله وأنتم موقنون بالإجابة. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وقائد الغر الميامين محمد الصادق الوعد الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وارض اللهم عنا معهم بفضلك وكرمك أرحم الراحمين. اللهم آمين. إرهاصات النبوة, brothers and sisters, that's the title of today's khutbah. The premonitions of prophethood. The extraordinary events that happened in the years leading up to the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, foretelling that prophecy and preparing the world for the advent of a man whose message and mission will change everything. Today, we as Muslims still live in the abundant shade of the tree of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We still derive our morals from the roots of that tree. We still derive our wisdom from that tree. We make choices based on that tree. We see the world through the lens of that tree. And those premonitions, brothers and sisters, in this season where the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being celebrated, I know it was last month, but that is still the season when we remember the man and his legacy and his message, alayhi salatu wasalam. And I wanted to remind you of those premonitions in order to help you develop a sense of gratitude for being a Muslim, for being a follower of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wassalam, in a world that is so lost, that is bent on suffocating itself, the only voice of reason that remains is us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us worthy of this amana, to be khayra ummah ukhrijat lin nas, to truly be the best nation brought to mankind. not by some external designation, but rather something that we've earned with our own choices and our own decisions. And I wanted to share with you one or two more of those premonitions, inshallah, before we conclude the khutbah. Everyone is familiar with hadithatu ghasl al-sadr, the event where the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was washed with zamzam water. And this narration is mentioned in so many of the books of hadith. Anas radiallahu anhu narrates in the authentic hadith, جَاءَ جِبْرِيلَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُوَ يَلْعَبُ مَعَ الْغِلْمَانِ. Jibreel came and Rasulullah was playing with the young boys when he was still being nursed by Halima radiallahu anhu, away from his family, right, in the desert. And that's what the Arabs did. They always sent their kids out to the desert to learn, you know, how to speak beautiful Arabic language, how to learn fusha, that is clean, that is not influenced by pop culture, that is not influenced by urban establishments, that is not influenced by colloquialism. They would send them out there to develop a strong health, to develop a strong mind, to develop a strong heart, good language, good skills, connect with nature. Good lesson for all of us, by the way. We all want to have our kids next to us 24/7. Yeah, they're next to you, but they're on their devices. You need to find some healthy separation with the children. A week, 2 weeks, they're going out doing something good on a camp, learning in some rough environment, away from the comforts. It'll be good to them, good for them, wallahi. The Prophet ﷺ is a young boy and he's playing with the other boys, and Jibreel alayhi salam comes in the form of a man. فَأَخَذَهُ وَصَرَعَهُ وَشَقَّ صَدْرَهُ وَاسْتَخْرَجَ قَلْبَهُ. He grabbed him, he put him on, laid him down on the ground, opened his chest and grabbed his heart, took his heart out. You know, some scholars say that that's the first open heart surgery in the history of man. Right? Took the heart out. So, ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَ مِنْهُ عَلَقَ. He took a dark spot out of the heart and he said, هَذَا نَصِيبُ الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْكَ. This is shaitan's share in you. And he threw it away. And that's it. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now clear and free of shaitan. Shaitan holds no sway over him, alayhi salatu wasalam. ثُمَّ وَضَعَهُ فِي مَكَانِهِ ثُمَّ لَأَمَهُ. Put the heart back where it belongs, and then he patched it up. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up. He was like, kind of shaken. He's pale. And all the other boys, they ran to Halima and they told her, Muhammad was killed, Muhammad was killed. So Halima came running and she was absolutely terrified. And she saw Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam standing, you know, kind of terrified, but he was fine. Alayhi salatu wasalam. That was a premonition of prophethood. And this was narrated by so many of those boys. They narrated this to their families. Halima narrated it. Everyone knew about this. This was a legend among the Arabs. That is also something that foretold the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Last but not least, for the purposes of this khutbah, brothers and sisters, the Jews and the Christians of the Arabs, in their books, it foretold the coming of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. In the Torah and in the Injil, it foretold the coming of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, there is and I want you to do your own independent research on this. There are gospels from the New Testament that are called the apocryphal gospels. Gospels that were removed from the book by the Catholic Church maybe about 1500 years ago. In one of those so-called apocryphal gospels, one of them is called the Gospel of Barnabas. And in the Gospel of Barnabas, copies of it are still floating on the internet, by the way. It clearly states that after Isa, alayhi salam, the Messiah, there will come the praised one that will walk in his footsteps, that will accept his teachings and expound on them. The praised one, literally, is a translation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah tells you in the Quran, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. It was already mentioned to them in their book that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming. It was already clearly stated, And the book affirmed all of their faiths and all of their convictions. And when we saw it with their own eyes, they denied it. When they saw the truth with their own eyes, they denied it. Why? It's like, Heraclius said to Abu Sufyan in the very famous story, I've always known that he is going to come. I just didn't know that he was going to come from the Arabs. That was the problem for them. It's either you're a Byzantine or you're from the Hebrews. If you come from the Arabs, that means, you know, it's not real, and that it is only on those grounds that they rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, brothers and sisters, let's reclaim the pride in who we are. The gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being on this path to celebrate Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And inshallah ta'ala, I wanted to invite you to the celebration of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam tonight, Muhammad, a vision for humanity. This is a celebration of Rasulullah. It's a celebration of the Tarbiyah community. It is not a fundraising event. So inshallah, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you at this beautiful evening tonight, inshallah, at 6. The tickets are on sale. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will grant us long lives to continue to celebrate the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and his legacy, and to continue to adhere to his sunnah and to continue to follow in his footsteps. I ask Allah to forgive us our sins, to establish us firmly on his path. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts on the path of piety and righteousness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us manage our internal affairs. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us maintain the unity and the strength of our community and our families. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make each and every one of us the best manifestation of the teachings of Rasulullah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help each and every one of us leave a legacy in this world. Leave an impression before we die. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we live inspired by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and die on the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen.